to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7, I'm going to preach this morning a message on me. I know we always say that it ain't about me. Well, this message is about me. I don't know if it's about you. So I'll let you be the decider of that. You decide if it fits within you. But for a surety, I know that it fits me. And I don't like to have to confess that this would fit me. But it does, Brother Larry. And I know that something had to be done. Something really had to be done. And only God could do it. So if you would stand with me and we'll read one verse. And we'll try to take our text from there this morning. And hopefully the Lord will bless you. Like you bless me. I sure wouldn't want to hurt you. What kind of shepherd would want to do something to try to hurt the sheep? What kind of shepherd? Years ago, I read a book on the story, Lessons from a Sheepdog. If you've ever read it, well, you'll say amen with me right here. It's a great book. Great, great book. And there's so much that can be learned from a sheepdog. But let's read our text and I'll let you sit down and we'll move on. Bible said in verse chapter 7 of Romans, verse number 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. I told you I was going to preach on me, didn't I? I told you. I doubt seriously this is going to fit any of y'all. But at least you can leave here today saying, I know somebody that this fit. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Father, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I sure do need you. Thank you for God for what you've done for us and how you've helped us. Thank you for the prayers of the saints. Thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge that you give to men. God, thank you for letting us come back to church. Thank you for letting us be here. And God, sometimes we don't even realize how close we've come to literally seeing you, Lord. But God, I know that Brother Joey said there's more work to be done. And I pray that you'd help us to do that, to be faithful at it, to be conscious of it. And bless this morning, God, and I pray that every heart, every ear that is hearing will get help that they might need. And we'll give you the glory for it, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to go ahead and give God the glory. Just in case you get some help this morning. I want to thank Him to start with. In the beginning, I want to say thank you, Lord, for helping somebody that might think that they got a little bit something in common with me. Because I've had to thank Him for what He's done. I was talking about trying to help the sheep. And I found out this, some sheep can't be helped by the shepherd. Some sheep are too fast. They're too quick on their feet. Some sheep, Brother Gary, they can run off and get away before you ever found out that it was even out of sight. I saw a little video, Brother Kevin, yesterday of a fellow sitting, had his four-wheeler sitting right at the gate of a big fenced-in pasture. And in that pasture, it was full of sheep. Full of sheep. And on that back of that four-wheeler, there was a, a border collie. Does anybody know what a border collie is? It's a sheepdog. It's a dog specifically bred, trained, and used to be a sheepdog. And I showed this to my wife. I said, "You got to see this," because I thought, man, that's the kind of, I called him a Christian. That's the kind of Christian I'd want to be. I mean, it was time for them sheep to come in out of that pasture, and there were so many of them. There's no way, Brother Larry, that shepherd could have got out there and run around this side and got the sheep going this way, and then run back over this side and got the sheep going back in this way. Brother Leroy, he'd have run himself to death and still not got done what he needed to get done. But that little old sheepdog jumped off the back of that four-wheeler, and inside that pasture, he went wide open. And I mean, he's running right up around the back of them sheep all the way around this side to that other side. And I mean, they're herding up already. And just like... sometimes Christians, as soon as he got away from them, they started lingering back behind again. But what they didn't know was, he's coming back. And he run around that side, and he comes back around, and he got them that was lingering, and run them back up there. And pretty quick, he had that whole herd of sheep running toward the gate. He did have to go back and get a couple. You know why he had to go back and get them? They loved where they were. You didn't get that. They loved being where they were. You know where they were? They were away from the fold. They were away from the shepherd. But that didn't matter to that sheepdog. He just went on back and got them. He went on back and got them. He went back there and got them, Brother Allen, and run them back in there. And as soon as he got them out of there and herded back in there where they're supposed to be, you know what he did? Didn't say, Mr. Shepherd, did you see what kind of job I did? Did you see how many I got? Do I get a prize? Do I get a reward? No! He went right back over there by the gate and jumped up on the back of that four-wheeler and just laid there and paused. You know what he was doing? He was waiting for the next time to be used. I thought, what a blessing to be able to see that. I wish I could get my life like that. I wish that, I know that God wants to use me, and I know He wants to use you, but God cannot use me if I don't let Him. So long before I ever got saved, I was nothing more than a wretched man. How sad it is that you and I can be born into the family of God and still live like I'm a wretched man. I looked that word wretched up, Brother Darnell. The first word of definition that goes with wretched is miserable. You ain't going to believe this, I know, because you're looking up here. You're looking at me, and I'm trying to smile, and I'm trying to be happy. And I'm trying to make you happy because you don't look happy. I'm trying to give you a little something with some joy that'll make you have some joy. I'm doing the best I can, really, Brother Larry. I'm doing the best I can. I appreciate somebody. I mean, you got to fake it. Amen. Just show me them ivories. Amen. I don't care. A little smile will go a long way from up here. The first definition that comes along with the word wretched is miserable. How can a Christian be miserable? It means unhappy. Ah. Don't blame me. Please don't blame me. I wrote this out of the dictionary. It means unhappy. It means sad. It means brokenhearted. We said, preacher, you just ain't giving me what you used to give me. Same book. We just sang the same songs. They just got over here and sung their lungs out in the same song we used to shout over. It ain't the singer's fault that you're miserable. It ain't the preacher's fault that you're miserable. It ain't my fault. It ain't God's fault. It ain't the Bible's fault that you're wretched. It's a self-inflicted wound. Grieving, sorrowful, downhearted, low-spirited, hopeless. You know what I found out, Mother Tracy? I didn't mean to call your name, but you probably can't relate to this with me. But I found out when God got me out of the cesspools of this world, out of the sin of this world, the devil did one thing to try to discourage me. And the main thing, listen to me now, the main thing that I believe that he focused on to try to take my joy, to make me miserable, to make me a wretched man, was to take me back where I had come from. That same old crowd. That same old sin. We didn't have kids in here in Sunday school. I can't say it now. But that same old sin. That same old sin. Hey, you've seen the analogy of how somebody tie a carrot to a fishing rod and hang it out there for the horse, and that horse is... And the devil just reel them in. And they become a wretched man. You say you believe it's possible to be a wretched man and to be a Christian? Absolutely. I've met some folk that wasn't saved, doping and drinking. Oh man, you talking about having time in their life? Yeah. They having a good time. Laughing, carrying on. I mean, even if they'd have gotten a fight, just shortly after the fight, they'd have had a little drink and everything would have been good again. But Christians, when we lose our joy, when we become wretched. I told you, I'm not preaching on you. This is about me. But if you do fit in there anywhere, you're welcome to say, me too. Me too. You ain't got to say it out loud. You can just say, me too. Me too. I'm looking at this text and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? You know, we got to just first off, we got to admit it. I ain't all that. I am not all that. As a matter of fact, Brother John, I believe this. I believe that most of my life that I would maybe call a Christian life, I'm very disappointing to the Savior. I would probably say that I could rest assured, I know I don't read my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't listen to gospel music enough. I mean, there's so many things, Brother Larry, I have felt so short in my Christian life. No wonder I'm a wretched man. Oh, I'm interested in money. I'm interested in retirement. I'm interested in seeing how much the maybe Federal Credit Union has paid on CDs. I'm highly disappointed it no more than wanting to pay right now. Every time I see something on the news or flash on the internet, high yield, get it while you can. High yield CDs. I click on it. I'm thinking, well, praise God, I'm already getting that Navy Federal Credit Union. I love Navy Federal Credit Union. Not as much as I love the Lord, but best bank in my mind. I'm saying, I love money. I got something for sale 24/7. Just to get some money. Anybody need a four-wheeler? See me at church. Damn it. Anybody need a motorcycle? I got one lined up already here. Motorcycle? Alan, hold your hand up. Thank you, brother. Amen. See you at church, too. How about a good farm old tractor? Good. Looks like... Whoa. Glory to God. I'm in the shout right here. All three of them. Good as gold. Me and you going on vacation this week. Amen. if the sales go through. Let me put some stipulation out there. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am. Listen, I'm telling you, this man right here, he took knowledge of his personal condition. If you never admit it, you'll never get help. When this thing was going on, and I hope I don't bore you with this here over and over and over. When this thing was going on, my first issue, Brother Alex, my first occurrence, I was at Jared's. And I wasn't doing nothing strenuous. So Jeremy, I mean, kneeling down should not be strenuous to any age of life, but it does get there. And all I was doing was kneeling down. I was on one knee. I had an AC vent opened up, and I'm just trying to put a filter up in there. There was a little sofa table like what we have out there in the hallways. Out, I slid it over, made a little bit of room, and I'm down there. And when I stood up from putting that one vent in there, I'm sweating. I'm breathing hard. And Jared says, "Dad, what is wrong with you?" I said, I don't know. I just age, I guess. And I cooled off for a minute. I went upstairs and changed some outlet covers, Brother Glenn. Some switch covers. And I felt it. And I called Faith. I said, "Fix me some baking soda and water." Anybody ever tried it? You know what my doctor said about that? He said, "It works." Because if you ever accumulate gas in this area up here, you'll think you're having a heart attack, and baking soda and water will make it get gone. I'm telling you, you'll sound like a bull elephant. Well, maybe that's not how a bull elephant sounds. I don't know. maybe not quite like that. But she didn't have enough. She got me something else, and I sat down up under a ceiling fan and a chair and a bottle of water. And while I was sweating, it finally cooled off, and it went away. Then it happened again one morning. It got more and more. One morning while I was doing devotion. And my doctor done told me, said, "You need to go to the hospital when this happens." Well, I wasn't going to go when it wasn't happening. But it happened this time. It was almost like at Jared's. And I went to the hospital, and that started the procedures. And one step after another. My doctor says, "I've got a doctor in Fernandina that I highly recommend. As a matter of fact, if he tells you to jump, you ask him how high." That's exactly what he said. He said, "Whatever he tells you, you trust him." I said, "Okay." Well, I trust my doctor. Dr. Whitesell, he really, Jeremy, he's trying to do everything he can to help me. Keep me healthy. That's what he says. I went to the Fernandina doctor. And he set me up for a stress test. Done the stress test. The man says, I said, "When am I going to hear something?" He said, "Well, no news is good news. So if you don't hear nothing, don't worry about it." Do you think that you could be blinded and not even realize what's happening around you? There was two men on the road of Emmaus. We just talked about them a couple weeks ago. How they was walking with Jesus and didn't even know who Jesus was. In the tribulation, they'll not even understand what this Antichrist is doing. Can I tell you, we got a government right now that's pushing that way so hard they can't hardly stop it. This ball's rolling, friend. You better take note what's happening in the hour that you think not. You might want to be ready. I went over there, done my stress test. Like Brother Glenn said, there ain't nothing to it. Went in there, run till I was hassling for breath. They said, "Here, sit down right here. We're going to take an EKG. I thought I blowed that thing off the chart. I didn't know what happened right there, but they sent me home. And I went home, and it was raining. Good night, it was raining. I'm just a wretched man. And it was raining. I told Faith, I said, "Just stop and get something." She said, "It's storming. Let's go to the house." We went home straight from there to my house. She fixed us a good plate of grits and eggs, and some deer sausage. And I'm sitting there eating, and not even 45 minutes later, my phone rang, and it was the doctor. And wouldn't you have thought that I'd have went, uh-oh, I just heard from him. Wouldn't you have thought that? You know what I told him? I said, man, it's good to hear from you. I wasn't expecting this until next week. He said, yeah, I don't know how good this really is. And I'd eat about half my plate. I'm talking about a wretched man. I'd eat about half my plate of food. And he says, you need to go back to the hospital and check yourself in right now. And I laid my fork down and never picked it up again. I was done eating, Brother Jeff. And I really didn't know what. I said, when do you mean? He said, right now. Right now. You know, I didn't think it was ever all that serious about getting stents put in your heart. I just thought it was just real common. They do it every day. Brother Joe told me this. He says, I wasn't going to tell you this while this was going on. He said, but Stokes Chancey, his oldest brother, died of the same thing. Sister Gail Taylor babysat for two little twin boys, or girl, I don't know what it was, but 44-year-old daddy had heart problems. And the mama is in the other room, and she heard this boom. And she went in there, and he's laying in the floor, 44 years old. And she tried to revive him and done CPR on him. And he never come back. He had the same exact issues that I had. 90%, 70%, same artery. I'm a wretched man. I had no hope outside of God. God's people. Only thing I knew, you know what? Now, if I tell you this, you ain't going to believe me. But I'm going to tell you anyway. I never dropped down beside my couch, but Gary went praying. I think if you wait until something drastic happens in your life to get right with God, you've waited too late. You should have been right with God when you came to church this morning. How many have you seen, Brother Alex, screaming and crying, oh, what am I going to do? What? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they respond to such as that. I'll tell you what I did. I called Jared because I knew there were some preachers there. I wanted them to pray for me. But more than that, I wanted my family. I said, I called them. They answered the phone. I said, I don't know how to FaceTime and get everybody on here at the same time. And I said, tell me how. Ask them if they're there. I said, so I can call all three of y'all and get, yep. Am I okay? Does everybody know where I'm at? But Glenn, I called all three of them at the same time. I wanted to see them, and I wanted to tell them what was going to happen. Because I didn't know. I really didn't know. But I wanted them to know that I'm okay. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I shall wake within the presence of the King. And I shall see Him face to face. Don't wait till it's too late to say, I want to be right. I was a wretched man. One day, I needed hope. He said, who? He admitted he needed help. I admitted it, Brother Jeff. I went down there and I got the help. This is so far from my message right here. I promise you, you can go look at it. There ain't nothing that's on there. They checked me in, Brother Dustin. Baptist Hospital. By 3:30, I'm in a room. Hog hanging cold. Does anybody know what that word means? Hog hanging cold? I was freezing. You say it was your nerves. My wife was freezing. The nurse came in there and said, "It's freezing in here." I said, "Ma'am, I'd like to have some blankets." Listen, I was cold. I wouldn't even take my shoes off. I was like Matt Dillon. I'm not disrobing. Had my socks, my shoes. Listen, I need to be warm. For the next 14 hours, I'm whining and crying because I'm not comfortable. For the next 16 hours, I'm whining and crying because the preacher didn't come visit me. I'm whining and crying because they didn't sing my favorite song. I'm whining and crying because I just don't like the way he preaches no more. But you used to. Well, you used to just brag on how much you love the preacher. You used to. I didn't change. You did. So, no wonder we're whining and crying from the coldness of this world. I just cried. I'd get up and go to the bathroom. I'd look around and say, "Surely to goodness, they was waiting to get us a room somewhere." I said, "Surely to goodness, they're going to get us a room. And we'll get out of this cooler we're in." I walked out. I beat a path down going back and forth to the bathroom. Cold weather to me, and I'm telling you, I've been drinking water like a horse. I'm going. I finally seen this one fella about 4 o'clock in the morning. I says, "Hey, buddy," I said, "y'all wouldn't happen to have a rolling recliner that you could bring to this room, would you?" I said, "My wife's trying to sleep in a straight back chair. She's freezing to death. And she's just sitting there. And at best, she'd lay her head over on my pillow on the bed, off that chair. I was afraid she's going to fall out of the chair. And I had to put stitches in her head." He said, "I'll get you one in just a minute." He reminded me of them people said, "Hey, am I going to see you Sunday?" He said, "Oh, we'll be there, preacher." He never showed. Are you? I know you've been out.
You're running well.
Sunday's a big day.
Yeah.
Are you coming? Oh yeah, you know I'll be there.
Come on.
I wish I had a dollar for every one of them times I heard that. This week. Finally, that little nurse come back in there, and I said, "Ma'am, he's a man that." He lied to me out there in the hallway, said he could bring a chair, but did not. I said, "Can you get a chair for her so she can at least lay back and cover up?" She said, "I'll try." She didn't say, "I will." She said, "I'll try." But she tried, and she brought one to us. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. My eyes had just went, bing. 7 o'clock. I ain't slept good all night. I like to froze to death. My toes was hurting. My feet was hurting. I'm telling you. "Mr. Dixon, we come to get you to go do a heart cath." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "I ain't even been in the bathroom yet." I said, "Don't you leave. I'll be right back." And I'm going to skip the whole next story about being dressed and everything. All that didn't go well. Well, God bless you, women. You're trophies of grace. That's enough. Kids don't need to know nothing. By 10:30, Brother Alex, by 10:30, they had fixed me up. And I didn't realize what God was doing. So an old country preacher had to come by, not our church, but another church. And had I not went and heard him, I'd have never seen what God did. You ever heard of a man named Tom Hayes? He was with Less Than That. He preached on Monday night. See, you don't think when you're wretched. You don't think right. You don't think when you're wretched that God can help you. You don't even realize that you become wretched. You don't realize that you become down in the mouth. You don't realize that you become sad-hearted. You don't realize you become miserable. You don't realize that whenever you're wretched, when you're wretched and wretched with God. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He admitted, Brother Gary. He admitted where he was. Brother Tom Hayes preached out of Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5, the latter part of that verse said, "Weeping may endure for the night." Boy, wasn't that me? Wasn't that me whining and crying about being cold? Wasn't that me? "Weeping may endure for the night, but at 7 o'clock in the morning, joy cometh." Joy cometh in the morning. And I'm telling you, he said that. I want to just sit there and just say, "Glory to God. Praise the Lord." He heard me whining and crying. He's heard you complaining that it just ain't the same no more. He's heard you. And all it is, just buckle that. Put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. And let me tell you the truth. The whole thing ain't nothing but me and you. Me. And you made out of the same stuff I made out of. Well, Brother Hayes preached that and I just wept. I got fixed up, I think I have. I told my doctor, I says, "I don't know if I'm fixed or not." He says, "Why?" I says, "Well, sometime I still feel some stuff." He said, "Take a little adjusting. Take some working out." I said, "When can I go back to work? When can I start doing stuff again?" He says, "Go ahead and do it." Faith says, "Hold it, hold it. Let me explain to you what he's talking about when he talks about going back to work." And so he looked at her and she said, "He's talking about stopping on the side of the road and picking up a refrigerator? And then getting another one and putting it on top of that other one?" He goes, "Oh, no." He said, "Wait 2 weeks." I thought, 2 weeks? 2 weeks? I'm ready for golf. Huh? I'm ready. I'm thinking. If I fall out, you got to carry me back. There was a problem with my wretched flesh. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know what the writer right there, the Apostle Paul, said right there? He said, "My flesh is dying." You know what's worse than your flesh dying? Your joy. Your zeal. The place where you were. The enthusiasm. Brother Gary was up there trying to lead singing. And he was doing all right. For somebody to lead singing up here, they better be doing a great job. Because nobody out here ain't going to do a great job. If somebody up there ain't doing a great job. Ain't nobody out here getting excited if somebody up here ain't excited. I mean, when I'm singing about the dearest friend I ever had, I want the world to know he was a great friend. The dearest friend I ever had. I'm so thankful God helped me. God gave me what I need to get right. But then there's a friend of mine. Last Sunday morning, was it? Saturday morning, Sunday morning, that you got the call from Sister Gail, got a message from Sister Gail about that wall we're with. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, a boy that I had worked with, I went to school with him, we rode a bus together, I worked with him for 20 years, and all he had was just a small internal issue. Infection, I believe in his pancreas, I believe is what it was. You know what he never would do? He wouldn't go to the doctor. What a wretched man. He said, I can handle this. I can handle this. Do you realize that whenever we get away from God, we don't have to get under conviction to get right with God? We know when we're away from God. Why would we wait until we hear the bells of heaven ringing? Say, oh, those bells are for me. Let me go pray. Hey, no! When we know we're not right with God, when God is far from the top, when the service of the Lord is distant in our sight, it's time. He wouldn't go. That's why Sunday after Sunday, people sit in a church pew, and I'm looking on their faces, and I'm seeing that distant look. I'm seeing that faraway look. I'm seeing that satisfied look.
Yes.
He wouldn't go. He would not go. He would not go. Are you listening to me? Hey, come back to Camden Baptist. Come back here just a minute. You can think about that what you think about some other time. He would not go to the doctor. So yesterday, they buried him. All he had to do was get fixed. And it's kind of a common thing. Younger people see this than older people. We go to the doctor all the time now because we want to live. I used to see people go to the altar, same ones go to the altar and pray all the time. All the time. I've seen it in churches where it'd be the same person. They say that person, you've seen it. Same one, go to God all the time. Better thank God for that one. They might be praying for you.
Amen.
They might be the only rope that's hanging in that church for somebody to get some help. Everybody else might be as wretched as a hound dog, but that one that's going. Ashlyn and Kristen was just in a meeting up there. Brother Jonathan's, I think, for y'all that. And that woman was there that played the piano, had that son, 48 years old. Didn't you say? Did you say he had Down syndrome? Is that what it was? 48 years old. And he wanted to sing with his mama. And I tell you, listen, don't ever make fun of people like that. God bless you, that could be one of yours one day. Might be one of your grandchildren. Better listen up close. And they said they'd call it, he'd come up there to sing. Brother Alex said he never would sing on the platform. He'd get up on the platform and have a songbook, but all he would say is, you need to come pray. You need to come pray. Y'all need to come pray. Pointing everybody out. Now you tell me who's got the goods. This is a long way from... Brother Joe asked me this morning, called me and said, what you preaching on this morning? I laid my whole message out there. He said, man, that's good. And I got to call him out and say, I didn't preach on none of it. But if you're not careful, John Owen, if you're not careful, Jaleel, Ashton, Noah, you young men, if you're not careful, that wrong crowd will cross your paths, and God will be put so far behind you, and you'll grow up into a life thinking that the pleasures of this world will satisfy, and you'll be nothing more than a wretched man. I don't want my life like that. The lady asked me this, Brother Jeremy, They took me and they laid me in the hallway right outside the room where they're going to do the procedure at. They laid me in the hallway. They said, as soon as we finish this gentleman in here and get the room cleaned back up, we'll bring you in. Won't be but just a little bit. I found out their just a little bits and my just a little bits ain't even close. An hour ain't just a little bit to me. And the lady come and she said, Mr. Dixon, I need to ask you some questions. And she got all the stuff about, are you allergic to everything? And I thought, we'd already done this. We've had 3 EKGs. We've went through this list 3 times. Everything. We've done all this stuff. Been through it all. And she left me with this. But Cliff, she said, are you nervous? My first response was, is there a God in heaven? I said, ma'am, let me tell you this. I said, August the 20th, 1998. I said, my dad walked into a room and they laid him on a bed. And they done the same procedure on him that you fixing to do on me. I said, he never went home. I said, do you think I'm nervous? She said, I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay. I said, I believe with all my heart that's what he wanted. He said, wouldn't it be wonderful, son, to go to sleep down here and wake up over there? And you know, if that would have happened to me the other day, it'd all been good. It'd all been good. It'd all been good. You know how many times I've wanted to talk to him? I've dreamed about him. I used to think about my father-in-law, how mean and harsh and bullish he was. I thought, wow. Had he not been like that, his youngins would have went crazy. That's the way everybody else youngins does. Had he not been like that, who would have worked and provided for y'all? Had he not been like that, what would have happened to you? You say, but we don't have to be hard and stern all the time. Yes, you do. Who's going to take care of your babies? Who's going to take care of your wife? Brother Joe says, I ain't worried about Marie. David Lloyd take care of her. I said, well, you know, she got a son, too. He said, oh, yeah, they'll take care of her. There's one thing I want to know. I want to know that my children are going to take care of their mama. If something happened to me, I believe that's a no-brainer. So you can get fixed, or you can die with an infection internal. And a week later, have your funeral. Just because you look good on the outside means absolute... Are you listening to me? Just because you look good on the outside means nothing to God. Because He looks on the heart. Let's all stand together.